As we gather this morning, we'll be thinking about God's faithfulness, God's compassions, God's mercy towards us. As we start a new year, or we're 10 days into a new year now, we'll be thinking about the newness that God brings to us each day. So I'm going to start with a short reading from the book of Lamentations. It says this: "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." As we think about this, let's stand and sing together, "Great is thy faithfulness," thinking about the faithfulness of God every single day to us. Let's stand together. So, 11 days ago, we saw in the new year, yet another new year, meaning, among other things, that one more year has gone by, and with it all the joys and excitements and worries and problems all have been left behind as another new year appears, supposedly holding new hopes and dreams and challenges and adventures. Out with the old of 2009, and in with the new of 2010. Happy New Year, we greeted each other with when we first saw one another. But to be fair, that isn't always the way it works, is it? In fact, this isn't often the way that New Year's work out. I mean, for a start, not all of us celebrate the New Year. For some of us, the night of Thursday, the 31st of December, 2009, was the same as any other night. For some of us, it was even worse than any other night. And the day of Friday, the 1st of January, 2010, was just another day. Well, even if we did plan a party and welcome in the new year, a new day and a new year doesn't always mean massive changes. Doesn't always mean, in fact, it rarely means that all our problems are forgotten. All our worries have gone away. Doesn't mean that what we faced in 2009 we don't continue to face in 2010. Because in many ways, the new year is just a different date with the same things to face. And in many ways, for many of us, a new year is actually something we might feel more like celebrating in the summer, after we've had a holiday, not in the winter. You know, after a long summer's break, after a bit of sunshine, after we've got away from it all, apart from Rob, who went to Brazil over the holiday. After we've had that time off and we finally get back to school or to work, the summer feels like a new time. We've had a break. We feel refreshed. But January the 1st, after a relatively short and busy holiday, well, it's not really that special. A good excuse for a party, for some, maybe. But it's just another day we face at the end of a cold, busy period. And yet, on the other hand, you know, there's something quite important about the new year all the same. Whether we acknowledge it or not, there's something quite important about the turning of another year. Because really, if we think about it, there's something quite important about things that are new. Whether it be new year, or a new day, or a new season, or just a new time for us as individuals. Having something new in our lives is quite important because it adds something different. It makes a change. It brings a bit of hope where maybe there might not have been any before. I mean, let's face it, the shops recognised this years ago, didn't they? We only have to look around to see it if we go into town. The window displays that we look at, the focus that the retailers have, even the sales are all right next to new season specials that are coming out. It's all focused on the new. And the advertising companies, well, they revolve around new things, don't they? I mean, we're told time and time again, we need something new in our lives. We want new items. If we have this new thing, it will make life so much easier. The latest, the newest, the most up-to-date is always thrust in our face, day after day after day. Because at its most basic, you see, new is very attractive. Very attractive. But on a deeper level as well, new is also vital for us as human beings. And this isn't only recognised by those who are trying to sell us things, but it's recognised by God as well. We see this in that passage I read from the book of Lamentations in the Old Testament. And it's quite surprising that we see it in this book, because as you might gather from the title, the book of Lamentations is actually a book of lament. It's, in fact, a book which was written when Jerusalem is depicted as lying in ruin. It's a book that talks about the enemies of God who have entered the city of God and destroyed it. It's a book that talks about the sanctuary of the Lord being plundered and totally put to ruin. It's a book where the people of God themselves have finally been taken into exile. All that they dreamed of and hoped of has been destroyed, and they're carried into foreign lands. It's quite a small book towards the end of the Old Testament, but it's one which finally sees the demise of the city of God and the capture of his people. A book whose watchwords would be weeping, mourning, desolation, destruction. It's not a book we read very often, because it doesn't really have a lot of hope in it. In fact, it's used by the Jews to this day when they look back on anniversaries of destruction and suffering. For many, it's dark and hopeless and dismal. And yet, right in the middle of this book, almost missable if you flicked through it quickly, are some amazing words said by the author as he sits supposedly and looks over all the destruction before him. And they're these that I read earlier. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You see, in the middle of this most awful situation are these words. Words which talk of newness. Words which talk of hope. Words which break from the usual focus of the Old Testament, which is God's steadfast, ongoing love. And words which focus on his care, his kindness, his love, his concern, his passion, his warmth. Things which are not only there all the time, but things which are new every morning. Not beaten and battered and clinging on in the midst of destruction, but new. New when the sun comes up, day after day after day, so that no matter what happened in Jerusalem, there would always be hope, because tomorrow was a new day. And with a new day, came the fullness of God, fresh and new again. And that was so important, because it meant whatever happened, whatever went on during a 24-hour period, whatever depths of darkness were reached in people's lives, and here in this book we're reaching the bottom of the barrel, God's compassion for his people is always going to be there. And more importantly, it's always going to be fresh. It's always going to be unused. It's always going to be new to discover. It's always going to be new to learn, new to be found, rejuvenated, made for that day and that day alone. It would never run out, because it was new every single morning. Do you know, when I was writing this talk, you might be surprised at this, but I was actually had on my computer the live commentary from the England-South Africa cricket match. I've tried football with you lot and it doesn't work, so I thought, cricket? Anyone interested in cricket? One, two, okay, three. Right, so I was listening to England-South Africa, and, you know, because writing a talk sometimes get a bit distracted, I want a bit of something to look at. And it was day three of the test. Well, you probably don't have a clue what I'm talking about, but I'll explain. And day three was not a good day for England, because South Africa were batting very strongly, and there seemed absolutely no hope that we were going to get anyone out. And from going from a test that looked like we could possibly win, we were looking even more like we were going to lose. And so I kept flicking to this on the computer, and every time, just more runs piling on for South Africa, no one was getting out. But what amazed me when I was looking at this is that every time someone ran up to bowl, every new ball that someone bowled, I had hope. I thought, this is the ball that will get the breakthrough. No, no, no. Never mind, this one, this is the ball. And it amazed me that things can seem so hopeless, but as soon as the bowler runs up, you're thinking, this would be the one. They could just get a nick. It could just, you know, you're not really. But, you know, this is what I was thinking. Every new ball is new hope. It's probably why England carried on that day. There's always hope because there's a new ball. And here in the Book of Lamentations, even when Jerusalem had fallen and the temple had been destroyed and the sanctuary of God had been desecrated, and more importantly, the people of God had been taken from their land and scattered among other nations, even at this point in history, God promised a new day. A new day when his compassion would be renewed for his people, and they desperately needed it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this is wonderful. It's a wonderful picture of our God. And what's even more wonderful is that today, as we start to progress into a new year ourselves, whether we pay attention to the passing of time or not, God offers the same to us as well. To us, his people, in 2010, he offers the same promise that no matter what stage we're at in our life, no matter how our life is going at the moment, no matter whether we think we need God or not, every morning, every new day, every time we wake, without fail, God is here. And not only that, but God is here afresh, ready, with his care, with his kindness, with his love, with his concern, with his warmth, with his passion, ready once more to give us energy for another day, ready to surprise us with some moment of joy, ready to enjoy our success with us that day, ready to comfort us when we encounter sorrow. Every new day, God is ready to be our God from the moment we wake and open our eyes. I think that is wonderful. Do you know there's a story? It's a children's story, and it's about a sorcerer who served a king. And one year he upset the king, as they tend to do in these stories, and so he was sentenced to death, to die immediately. But the sorcerer pleadingly went to the king and he said, "If you would allow me to live for one more year, I will make you the most famous king in the world. Because what I will do is I will make your horse talk. And when I make your horse talk, everyone will talk about you and your talking horse." And so the king thought about this and he said, "Oh, all right then." And he let the sorcerer live, but he put him in prison because he wanted to keep an eye on him. And one of the sorcerer's friends went to visit him in prison and he said, "You're so foolish." He said, "You know you can't make the horse talk. Why have you promised a lie when you're just going to die after another year?" And the sorcerer said, "Ah, well, I have one more year. Anything can happen in a year. The king might die. I might die. I might make the horse talk, but I've given myself one more year." And it may be that the sorcerer was just buying time, but his statement is true. Anything can happen in a year, but even more importantly, anything can happen in a day. And as we venture into 2010, I wonder what God might have in store for us this year. And more importantly, I wonder what God might have in store for us today. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness."